You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So my name is Matt Herzberger. This is Nick Denardis. A little bit of background. We never actually met in person until we were having beers at the bar last night. So this is our first in-person collaboration. Just a little bit of background on this. I talked to a couple different kind of people that had started up web offices at different times or were at different parts of their web office. Nick has a completely different function structure than I do. So we're hoping that, you know, his group is kind of, they focus on core functions and their services group. And I guess I'm kind of the lazy group because I just get a function on core things without actually having to help anyone else out. So it's great. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, yeah, I guess. And the other thing is that you have a kind of mandate that you guys get to put upon the university, whereas our department doesn't have a mandate. All we get to do is influence everybody out in our in the schools and colleges and departments and things, and we really have to push why to use standards and things like that instead of being able to, say, take down a site that's purple and has blinking colors and stuff like that on it. So, yeah, there's definitely two completely different approaches here as far as what our departments do and how we do it.
You can go first.
All right. So I guess, let's see here. Committees, policies, and guidelines. Let's see. This is every university's web department, and pretty much it seems like it's not so bad with print, but definitely with web, where it can reach so many people so quickly that everybody wants to, well, have their say in something and have it be well branded, and everybody wants to be able to touch everything in case it's a success so they can show that they affected the success. And it's really a, I guess, insane way to think about things because it's so easy to change as far as the web is concerned. If something doesn't work, just switch it up and it'll work based on kind of what things have been going, what kind of numbers you've been getting from things. Let's see here. Yes. So really, it's about getting the right people in the right rooms at the right times and with under the same the right type of conditions. And so creating, and as far as I, like my office is concerned, the people that need to be on board are the ones that are, I hate to say, going to be paying for the services because my group is not generally funded. So, well, it's only generally funded for admission type stuff. But everything else, we actually charge the different departments on campus for our services. Although it's about a fifth or a tenth of what kind of a vendor would charge, we still charge and we still kind of put that monetary value against our services as far as, oh, you want to add these 10 features? Well, this is going to cost us much, this is going to cost us much. So that there is an actual impact to the decisions that, you know, deans, directors, department heads are making. And so those people, at my university at least, are the ones that we need in the room to actually make the decisions because it's coming out of their pockets. And, you know, to them, budget is everything, especially now when it's getting cut more and more.
One of the experiences that I'm having right now is there was the compliance group, which is never the right person to start this conversation, but they started this, they're calling it like a web standards policy committee or something like that, which to me, web standards is one thing, and to them, it's a completely different thing. But the funny thing is, I got this email sent from, you know, the compliance office, which is a lawyer. And then there are all these people copied on it. They're going to be part of the committee. And I've never heard a single one of the people's names. And I was like, well, I would think this has something to do with web people. And I started asking my boss. And it was all suits. It was lawyers. It was executives. It was all these people. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm getting sucked into my first committee. You know, it's something that thus far I've been able to avoid like the plague. And I'm going to try and continue to do that. You know, committees are good when they serve a certain function. But when they dictate where you're going, if they hinder as opposed to enable, I think it's one of the things that's really, really hard about working with them. You know, for example, like web kind of governance, we were supposed to sort of set up a committee, but instead I just set up a group, we call it UWeb, and it's just a general group that kind of has oversight, but again, it doesn't dictate where things go, because I don't really want to have to answer to some group with, you know, a bunch of people that really should not be the influencers and the stakeholders when it comes to this stuff. I think that's about it on that one. Okay, this one, this was one of the ones that I added in because this has been the hardest part of my job so far. It's the thing that I deal with day in, day out the most. It's the thing that made me start really liking scotch a lot. So a little bit of background. I've been in my new job about 6 months. I was brought on to sort of start up a core web group on campus. As part of that function, there was already another web group on campus. So it's like automatically turf war the day I get there. And I came in with the I want to work with you guys thing. And they came in with the no, he doesn't. He just wants to get us all fired type mentality. And going back, we were going to actually have people jump in with their experiences. I kind of forgot that part of it. Does anybody have anything to sort of add on the last slide about committees, policies, any good experiences that you have, any questions of, you know, where they've killed you, where they've helped you, things like that?
Matt, I'm really happy for you and all, and I'm going to let you finish. Ryan's going to have the best MVP presentation of all time.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else with something productive to add? Has anybody had an interesting experience with committees where maybe they actually helped them at some point or another? Okay, Logan?
Well, we created a social media but what we did was, rather than involving the entire university web team, we just pulled three people from the main stakeholders, communications, marketing, and admissions, and stuck them in one group. Didn't really give them any, gave them power, but didn't give them the power to
Oh, that's good. It is a good point. I think the ability to keep it lean and mean, like once you get, again, way too many suits and the committees get bloated, it's really hard to, it's like driving a school bus, you know, it's kind of hard to steer it in the right direction. You got to try and sort of stack the deck with people who have the right ideas in mind. Anyone else? No? All righty. You can go ahead and jump in for a second.
Okay, so I don't know. There's not, I guess I don't have as much politics around campus as Matt does here, but one of the things that was, we're part of central marketing, and that kind of put us in a good position because we were able to, the IT folks at the university just oversee the servers, and that's it. So they do what they do best as far as making sure that we have enough space, making sure that everything's up and running as optimal as possible, and then we worry about the actual end user kind of software, I guess, on that hardware. And so what that's kind of gave us a pretty good advantage as far as the a good separation between those two pieces. Now, since in, I guess, the history of our web department at the university has been completely decentralized, so every department has their own servers, web people, everything like that, and we've been tasked with bringing them all into that one central environment and one central content management system. And as I guess the biggest thing is, since we don't, I guess there's no other central web group, but there is kind of a couple other key people around campus that we've actually involved completely with our process, and they can go back, traditionally they're IT people, they can go back to doing IT type tasks and not having to worry about 14 updates for the website today and then go and do actual like IT type of things around the department, which is their primary job, and then the web was just kind of stuck onto the side. But as far as politics are concerned, it's interesting that nobody else really, I guess we don't have a struggle of the IT area wanting the web, because we position it more of a, it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of content that has to be written and worked with and kind of shaped to the end user. So it's kind of worked out really well for us.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I really have to add to that part, one of the things when again, there's been a lot of problems kind of between the marketing and the IT people since they've been around. And one of the conversations I had, in this time, we got a new president at the university. And the first time I met with him, and my boss has been alluding to these problems, and he made this great just kind of quote, analogy, whatever, but it was a very, very wise observation. He said, when you're plowing a field and you hit and you come to a rock, just plow around it. And again, it's a really, really simple idea, but you know, it's kind of the idea, if you find someone that's hindering you, that's stopping you, that is a toxic person, just circumvent them and keep your process going. When you know you're doing the right thing, it'll end up kind of working out and you'll get around those people and you just, you know, surround yourself with the positive people. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. One of the things that's been this weird battle that I've had since I started, and again, so I'm the director of web communications, but every time I want to start a new website, I have to like beg and grovel to get a domain name. I mean, it's like this, seriously, this huge test just to get a subdomain or something. And so every time I do it, I have to go, and there's like this submission form. And then when it's me, it gets sent to the CIO to approve or deny it. Which no one else has this process, it's just me. So what I started doing was I made good buddies with some of the DNS people, and I found other people on campus that might, you know, be more, if I needed like to do the events calendar or something, and I needed events, I would go to the events group and have them register the URL for me. It's, again, circumventing people, but, you know, when you're doing the right thing for the right reasons, you kind of have to work around some of the policy and some of the bureaucracy that's there. Does anybody else have any? I know politics could be a presentation unto itself. Does anyone have any interesting anecdotes they want to add?
All right. Just won't let go of our homepage.
All right.
Your IT department?
They will let us do everything else.
Why is what's the reason behind that? Just because they've traditionally had it in the past and
they give no reason.
That's they always the best way.
Yeah. Actually,
he tells them and they ignore him. And he tells them and they ignore him. And the same goes for our blog. We're using Google Type, which is what, 3 or 4 years old?
Yeah.
Jesse, did you have your hand up a second ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's amazing? I actually stumbled onto the fact that our IT group has, like, there's the university directory where you have people's phone numbers and stuff. And the people in the IT organization list generic phone numbers that go to automated lines. They have a separate phone book, which I found access to a while ago, where they have their real phone numbers and their real cell phone numbers. And once I found that out, I started just being the biggest nag on earth to where, you know, when I want to get something done, I copy and call as many people as I can think of and then just kind of push them on the fact that, you know, you need to do this. And it's actually, I know I'm annoying to them, but it's been one of the most rewarding things because sooner or later, after getting copied on a bunch of emails, one of them is going to break or someone's going to say, why are we just not responding to him? So, I don't know.
All right. We can move on to structure of team. All right. Yes. Some of you may know this. Every team is kind of structured differently at every university, and you know, it really comes down to if it's a decentralized team. As long as the communication's open and as long as the people can work together relatively well, it works really well. Even if it's everybody's in the same department, that communication still has to be there, and the designers still have to talk to the developers, and vice versa, and the content people have to be in those initial meetings. And so I guess it's not a kind of hard rule of how to set up a web department, as long as there are the key people to do the jobs, regardless of what department they're in. There definitely has to be the project lead or the director or somebody who's in kind of control or, you know, has the ability to make decisions that are unpopular or can push on people who aren't doing things that they're supposed to be doing. And then having it kind of broken down into kind of a technical team where, in my case, it would be like the IT area of our university, controlling the actual servers and hardware. Then in addition to that, we actually have, this kind of breaks it down, as you can see, the actual sysadmins to all the way up to the front-end developers, and then the design team having some sort of design team there, whether it be internal or outsourced to a vendor or something, but somebody that understands design and can actually function well with requirements and the web as a medium. Content, number one, like a lot, this can go both ways, whether it be internal inside the actual department or if you're leaving it up to the schools, colleges, departments, or whoever to actually use the CMS to input their own content, making sure that they have the tools available to them to write good content for the web and not just copying and pasting hundreds of pages of documents. And then, of course, a quality team, which actually does go back, probably the last thing, most ignored thing, that actually goes back and looks at sites that have been launched, are they accomplishing their goals, and then sites that are going to be launching or projects which are kind of in the queue, what are the goals, what are the success criteria? And, you know, this can range from a one-person department being all of this to being, you know, a 20-person group which oversees, you know, hundreds of sites.
Yeah, my only part to add with this is definitely don't be overwhelmed and say, this is the staff I need to start, because that's not where my team is at. I mean, we'll be a four-team staff right now. So you'll see, that they kind of break down into categories. So maybe thinking of some kind of a structure like that. I kind of, like, joke with my guys, but I see us as this kind of cross-trainer, cross-function, sort of like a Venn diagram with lots of overlap, because there are certain skills that are shared amongst every single person on my team. And that's that perfect little triangle of, you know, where we really, really catch on, and that's where kind of everything gels when we do that. Don't become overwhelmed with this idea. I even last night talked with quite a few people about, like, the structures of their teams. Is there anybody that cares to share their structure and whether or not they think it does well, does very poorly? Any ideas of, I know a lot of people are sitting here and they're like, okay, well, yeah, this is me, you know, this whole thing. anybody care to share kind of their experience on it? Yeah.
So we have a structure that's somewhat like that. We're trying to check some of the things that our designers are constantly on the side and make books and server. The other thing that is not there is kind of a web strategy for
Yeah, that's true.
Which somewhat is the in my group, it's the project lead. I mean, again, we just pulled this because it was a great graphic. It could be project lead / director / strategist / a million other things. But right now I'm actually on the mend trying to get IT to actually take a lot of that far column in the sysadmin, because again, it's one of these when that relationship breaks down. It really causes a lot of problems because I don't have the time to keeping servers up, which I ended up going completely off campus and buying my own servers, and I'm doing hosting with Rackspace, which, again, it was what I had to do to get things done, but it's not the best situation. I'd prefer that I could get hosting on campus, but, you know.
No, I think I, you know, other than that, it's...
Okay. So, again, the function, this is kind of one of the things where Nick and my team differ greatly. They're a very much service-oriented group, but also deal with, like, the global functions. My team right now is pretty much just the core or global functions team. And I've talked to a couple of different people about the idea of having the core and the service team all in one, and whether or not that causes, like, kind of getting bogged down in projects. And what I'm trying to do is there is that other web group on campus and having them kind of dovetail under me so that are still the two distinct teams, but they work very, very closely together. I'm trying that out as kind of a model for doing it, and I think it's going to work well, but if you can go ahead and throw a little bit about yours.
Yeah, I guess ours is, you know, we've always been kind of a service-oriented place, and it has, I guess there's really been no push from administration to be generally funded, and I guess it's come up a lot, and my take has been I'd rather not be, because I'd hate to lose that kind of, even though we wouldn't charge, like, we're not in it to make money. We're in it to keep our staff and to keep services running at the university. When that value to time, ratio gets off so that they can ask for anything and expect us to get it to them in a week, that breakdown really would be, you know, we would become basically not focusing on our end users and now just focusing on making sure that the people at the university are happy. And so that's one of the things that we try to push as a service-oriented kind of group is quality and putting stuff out for a purpose. And it takes a long time to get there, to get people to actually understand the quality behind web work and the amount of time that it takes to get things out there and why they should be out there. So, and really what it impacts. Because we've spent, you know, sometimes some group, I forget who it was, but they, you know, they really wanted a site, and we, you know, they wanted it to do all this stuff. After looking at it, looking at their analytics, they only get around 50 to 100 visitors per month. And that's almost, you know, two people per day. And they really shouldn't have had they shouldn't have had a website, but their website did not need to be the big project that it was. And coming from, I guess, an expert's point of view, they really didn't want to hear our opinion as far as what their site should be doing strategy-wise and things like that. But that was, you know, a couple years ago, and now we, after building the relationships around campus, have been able to come to people and say, no, this is kind of really what you need, and this is why it should be that way. And it really comes down to building those personal relationships with people around campus and steering around the people exactly that are going to get in your way and kind of just have their place at the university and this is what they do and they're, you know, people shouldn't be doing this, that, or whatever. Getting around those people, getting to the people who really want to make a difference at the university, and those are the people who really affect kind of the morale. And people talk. It's really funny because we don't, we have a site at the university, but we don't really put a list of our services. We kind of do, but not really. We don't have any of our prices on there. We don't have any of really anything on there. All of the people who have come through our department have been through word of mouth. And so once one person gets, you know, they go through our department and their site looks really well designed, really well-written content, and they have a presence which they can be proud of, everybody else gets envious. And that's kind of been our kind of approach to building credibility on campus.
And I think to add to that, like, I know there's a couple of universities out there that have really, really embraced this kind of service model and been able to produce some great stuff with it. I mean, Nick's team does great stuff. I follow his blog, and I'm amazed at the amount of sites that they push out. Like Notre Dame has a really good agency model. And I think, again, it's what he hit on is that, you know, it's for the user and that it's of quality. I know part of the reason, really, that I am where I am is because there was that service group, but they really didn't push out things of quality. They just did things by deadline. And I actually hired away one of their developers, and he said it's nice to actually have time to see something quality to fruition rather than just having to crank it out in the time constraints that you're given, which they don't even give the time constraint. They're just told when they need it by. And I think, you know, the ability, like Nick's group, to be able to produce quality stuff, especially if you're a service group, you need to, whether it's, you know, just your group or it's your project manager, be able to set reasonable timelines to make it so that you do it right. Yeah.
You mentioned starting a new job, starting
Mm-hmm.
Then you have three people.
Yep. Well, I was pretty much brought on by like a special initiative on campus. They realized that there was this huge, that the main university website, nobody really took it by the reins and took ownership of it. So it was like the glaring example of how not to do a website on campus. And that's what I've inherited. So I have a huge task in front of myself. And if you still go to our site, it's in horrible condition. But let me see, where I was at. Could you repeat that? Because I kind of just lost track. I'm sorry. Oh, okay, yeah. So when I was brought on, they had kind of an allotment of money. Honestly, like, I give my boss, who really knows very little about web, a lot of credit that she had the forethought and did the research to figure out what it was that we needed. Because I was brought on and pretty much given a playbook and an allotment of who I needed to get. I've kind of switched up, you know, I was pretty much given the ability to bring on myself, hire three people, like at least in this first fiscal year, and purchase a CMS was what I was given to do. So I can't take credit for it. They did all the homework on this. They, you know, went to every single committee, director, board, all that stuff, and really just, they did a stellar job of being there. I mean, if it weren't for my boss, I would have left by now, because the amount of political stuff that I've had to deal with, if it weren't for her being so supportive and having done all this, again, she doesn't know web, but she spent the time to figure out what it takes to get a properly functioning team. It, really, all the credit goes to her, and I'm not a kiss-ass. I'm genuinely saying this because she's probably not going to hear this. Like, it is all to them that they really fought and scrimped and pulled budget money to bring this group on that completely came. I mean, when I started, I was just sitting by myself making up like IA documents from day one, and it was me sitting, and then I hired my own team. So literally, that's why I wanted to do this presentation, because there's people who, you know, maybe are directors at universities that have had these long established teams. And I know last year there was actually a web director, web manager roundtable, but I wanted to do it from people that were just starting from scratch. And I know Nick's team has been around a little bit longer, but again, it's the idea of, for people that are established, it's one thing, but getting it started, it's not an easy process. I mean, I think Nick and I didn't even start talking about our slides until, you know, within the last month and a half or so, because I was still figuring out what I was doing, and I still, like, don't have the perfect match. Like, Jesse talked about, you know, project management, and I told him that his presentation was great, because I day-to-day am switching up everything we're doing. You know, we tried out Basecamp for a while. We figured out we didn't like it. We're moving on to new things, and it's really, I told my guys, like, this is open. You know, don't look at me as your boss that you can't question. Question everything that I say and do, and leave it as an open dialogue, and that has worked tremendously with me, and I happen to have hired really talented people. So, like the VP of marketing and communications. So. Oh, sorry. Anybody else, as far as function of their groups or whatnot, have anything else to add or questions? Is the next one me, or is that you?
It doesn't matter. Okay. My name's thing somewhere.
Okay, so again, this sort of in a way has been alluded to a bunch of times. Where do you sit? You know, are you in IT, are you marketing, are you some kind of a hybrid? There's an article out there that Jeffrey Zeldman wrote, that it was like something along the lines of, do we need a web office? It's again, sort of the hybrid option. There's some groups doing it. I think really, regardless of even if you do just sit in a certain place, it always needs to be a hybrid, because you need everybody there to be involved and on the same page of it. You know, again, there's IT usually serves a great function, and they have the skill set of maintaining servers, doing system administration. No one on my team really has that. We can kind of mess around in Linux, but we're not sysadmins, so it really helps to have someone to fall back on with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess my take on it is it really doesn't matter where it sits, the web department, as long as the end user is the person who is in the front minds of everybody, because they're the ones who are actually going to be consuming the pages, and they're the ones who are going to be affected. And the front end, kind of HTML, CSS, everything like that, that gets served up to the actual users, that's what's going to matter. It doesn't really matter as far as where, if this is marketing controlling it, public relations, or purely IT. As long as the end user is first and foremost in the eyes of whoever's creating the pages, and that the pages actually get served up in a relatively easy fashion.
Were you still going? No. One thing I'll add to that. Ladies right here did a great presentation earlier today, Wisconsin Oshkosh. They talked kind of about this idea and where their team was functioning, but they were talking it more in a branding sense. But they made a really great pitch to the idea that, you know, it's websites not as a technology, but websites as serving a branding and marketing function for the university. I personally work in marketing. I snagged a person from IT, and I hired another person from marketing at another university. And the first question he asked me when I was interviewing him was, are you in marketing or IT? And I said, marketing. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. We can keep going then. But, you know, one of those type of things. So, you know, you're going to find people that feel very strongly either way. It's just, I think regardless, like he said, where you're at, you need to find kind of the talent.
Yeah. I guess we can kind of move on to content management systems. And this is also where we differ completely. Our group actually, we wrote our own content management system based on the needs of the university. And so about 4 years ago, we looked at all these different content management systems out there. We just kind of played around with them. Saw what they did and didn't do, and we didn't like any of them. Either they did too much and they were really confusing to use, or they did too little and we'd have to customize it too much. So what we did is actually, luckily enough, it was about 4 or 5 years ago that we started, you know, with a couple of sites that we started building a CMS as we were building the sites. And luckily, they were, you know, those departments were cool enough with allowing us to take a little bit more time creating their sites. But in the meantime, we added features to the CMS that everybody in the university could use. And so, you know, there's definitely the ability to have news, events, promotions, pages, files, everything that kind of an enterprise CMS has, we built on to our CMS as needed, so that we didn't have to go in and customize this large piece of software that really either worked or didn't work, and then wait for a vendor to upgrade and things like that. And what it really came down to is one of the key reasons why we did that is because we had really talented people in place who had a vision for the content management system. And without that, you know, I don't want to tell anyone that's the right approach in every situation, because it's not. You know, if you do have the key people in place, really talented developers, and the resource time to do it, that's definitely, I think, something that you should consider. But if you don't, you know, a vendor option is definitely probably the best option, but there's just so many out there, and I guess Matt can talk about that.
So like Nick Matt. Said, oh, yeah, what's your question? Uh-huh. What? Not that I want to call out who you use, but who do you use? Not that I want to call out what product you use, but okay. Anyways, well, I mean, again, I don't think that by any means that's a given. You know, in some points, I think that maybe depending on what your content management system, sometimes they might generate a lot of extra code that adds bloat to your code. And the more bigger and bigger a page is that you're rendering, the slower it's going to render. So, you know, if you've got systems that, you know, again, hopefully are XHTML, CSS, you can kind of trim down the code. Hopefully it'll load faster, but some of them, you know, it gets a give or take. I think it would be really bad to make a blanket statement and say that. So in my experience, I came in again. I was kind of starting a team from scratch. I consider us to be pretty lean. It was again part of the playbook I was handed. I was supposed to select the CMS, and so we went through like a search process. It took ridiculously long because, again, committees, But, you know, one of the things that I think you always need to think about with a CMS and whether or not, you know, you guys need to do it right now is what's your expectation of what a CMS does or doesn't do for you? Because a CMS really is not like a magic bullet that fixes every problem with your organization. Most, and I have a friend that was the CTO for a CMS company, and he was the very worst proponent of recommending products, but he would kind of tell you like it is, and he would always say that you don't need a content management system. You need to fix your personnel or personal, whichever way you want to look at it, problems. It's people problems. A lot of the times is, you know, a CMS doesn't update your website. It doesn't do that. It's somehow just as a function, you know. It still relies on the people to do things and do it right. So again, I don't even have any recommendations as to where to go, because really any one thing that works for one person will not work for the next person. One of the best, again, content management system obviously is a presentation unto itself, but Tony Dunn did a presentation at this conference last year that explained, you know, CMS selection process. You can probably find those slides on last year's conference site. Awesome, awesome presentation on CMS selection. Probably the best one I've ever seen. And it's done with all LOL cats. Let's see. Yeah, I think that was kind of it. Does anybody else have any other things to add? I know, again, CMS is a huge topic with lots of emotion behind it. What do people think? Oh, she doesn't like them.
Well, see, like for us, it gave, what we found is that the people who were actually updating the pages were, it was either half the IT folk or half just like secretaries or student assistants or somebody who wasn't their primary job, but they were the most technical person in the office. And so they got handed all the web stuff. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, if they could, if this is going to be something that they're only going to log into once every month, every 2 months, that they could log in and be oriented right away with what they need to do and how to get their job done, to edit a page, to replace a file. It's the simple things that, for us, were the day-to-day things that weren't getting done and that our users were complaining, because they were pages, our users' biggest complaint were pages that were out of date or missing. And what it really came down to was that barrier to getting those pages updated. And so we wanted to break down that barrier and have anybody who was in charge of that content to log in, be oriented, be able to update the content without having to have this huge overhead of sending an email to the IT person or waiting for somebody to get in that only works on Tuesdays or something. And then if they get time, then they'll update it.
It's an awesome point, because I just had this conversation with somebody on my campus the other day. They implemented a site with a content management system. They use an open source one. And in the process of doing it, they build in so much customization and goofy stuff that it made it so convoluted that they still had to go to the tech person to get the site updated. And again, the idea of a CMS is to just take the technology barrier out of the hands of the end users and let them be able to update sites. That's all a CMS is. If you think it's anything more than that, it's not. I just purchased it on Friday, so.
100%.
Yeah. Yep, and the bank account's hurting too. So.
Go ahead.
Web groups. This is one of the things that really for me, when I was at my previous job, I was at Texas A&M before, and I was kind of we had this just flux of, there was no central web team. But there were a lot of really talented people on campus. And what we'd all kind of noticed was there were these central functions that were not being served, but we had a lot of people that were engaged. And so we kind of came together and started this web group called UWeb. And it was just a way of identifying projects we could work on together, technologies, just helping people out in general. In my new school, there was not this function. So I came in and started it, which I hated the fact that I had to start it, because I don't want to be like the man coming in and like starting some kind of a function like this for people. But it's my favorite thing about, you know, being there, is being able to build a web community where there was not one. And this is where you find the talent that's on your campus that, again, it might not be in the central web group, but you can find people that are talented all over the place and be able to leverage those people. I think The best example I know of it is at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. I think it's webdev.unl.edu. They have an amazing web group, you know, just collaborative group on campus. And they, you know, do open source projects that are managed by everyone, not just the central team. And it's really, really great.
Yep. I guess, you know, at my university, it's not as kind of, we don't have that kind of resource all around campus. They have a couple people here and there. And really what we have done is kind of just communicated with them as far as what we're working on, what we're kind of expecting, just through a simple listserv. And for us, that works. You know, there is just a list that people can email to, people can respond with questions and answers, and it starts to build kind of that trust and that, because, you know, with web groups around campus, it's a turf war, you know, so there's, everyone doesn't want anyone to step on anyone else's toes, and, you know, there, people have, I don't know what it is, but they don't like working with others. But when it's the opposite, when they have an issue, having something some open communication for them to be able to just send an email out to and get a response that's not, you know, negative, that's not demeaning, that they kind of start to trust others at the university, and it's been kind of really good for us to even just have a listserv. I guess we don't get together as far as like a group would be to like meet up and things like that, but that communication being open has definitely changed a lot of personalities around campus.
Yeah, like our group has done monthly meetups, and they're very, very informal. They're not like agenda-driven or anything like that, and I just feel like that structure has really, you know, it's very grassroots. There's no director or anything like that, and I think it's gotten the people the ability to come out, and they'll be able to leverage, and if there's huge like I've had people, we just kind of open it up at the beginning, and then we do a presentation by someone on some technology topic at the end, and just having people be able to vent and have people be able to talk about their problems and get other people that back them when, you know, they have a problem with their dean or something like that, it's helpful. Does anybody have web groups on their campus? Do they serve a good function? Anyone who want to actually add anything about that?
It's very similar to what you're saying. It's very flat.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, there are rigid groups that, you know, are committees and stuff like that. I'm all about grassroots, so I...
We avoided the committee more.
Yeah. You what? Well, I just started mine, like, within the last 6 months. I just threw together a Ning group, hunted out all the people on campus, because there was no web culture. When I interviewed, every person I met, I would say, so who are the web people on campus? And everybody looks at me with absolute blank stares, like, I don't know anyone else, you know? We just started a Ning group. You know, you could do a Google group, whatever. Just start bringing people together, meeting, and everybody's got some talent. Have them present on it, you know? Let me see how many more... Oh, we have so many more slides.
We just skip some.
Which one do you want to go to? Project management. Watch Jesse's presentation online if you want to do that. If you see one you want to stop on. I'm sorry. We're kind of running out of time. So.
No, that's all right.
Should we stop on measurement or challenge? Well, how about we do that one?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I guess, you know, one of the key things with us, with my group, is to really start challenging your team and let them know that, you know, well, there are other university designers, developers, content writers, other groups out there who are doing the same thing day in and day out. And, you know, there's some great resources to check to see how our group is doing, I guess, against theirs. You know, there's higher education web galleries. There's, you know, what we started to do is kind of internal awards for people within our department and around campus, and that's worked out really well.
I guess some of the stuff that, again, for us is trying to get people encouraged to share their talent. I was talking about last night to some people about when I worked at A&M, there's this guy there, he's not here, so I don't mind calling him Michael, who runs their... Google Search Appliance, and I've tried to get him to present at conferences forever now, but he's kind of shy and timid, but he knows more about Google Search Appliances and has more knowledge about them than anyone I've known, and he writes on his blog about, you know, SEO and all this great stuff. I think it's just being able to challenge them to, you know, bring up their level. I think it's being able to get people on your team. Again, he was saying, showing them, like, we're building a calendar application right now, and so what I show is the, okay, let's do it better. I show them, like, the Nebraska calendar. Because, oops, my bad. anyways, that annoying guy.